Something that I wish Christianity would speak more of is the normal battle with sin, or I would put it this way, temptation. Temptation is a normal experience. That word normal, that's the key. We think that as you grow in Christ, temptation gets less. And that is not what Paul says about our experience. It's a very important conversation to understand that you will not only struggle with sin, meaning that you're not giving into it, but the temptation of sin will probably increase throughout your life. And Paul tells us some very important ways to think about it and how to endure it. Really important conversation today. If you're struggling, you feel the weight of temptation just beating you down, this episode's for you.
Hey guys, this is Justin. Maybe you know that you are forgiven because of Jesus Christ, but you're wondering, what does Jesus have to do with my Christian life? How is he involved in my sanctification even? Or is he concerned at all with the ways that I struggle and the way that my life goes up and down? Is there any comfort for me in Jesus when it comes to all of that? Well, I've written a book called More Than Forgiven, How Being in Christ Changes Everything, that deals with this topic. From Romans chapter 6. You can find this book at theocast.org. Welcome to Theocast, encouraging weary pilgrims to rest in Christ. We have conversations here about the Christian life from a confessional, reformed, and we hope pastoral perspective. We try to take the clutter off of the gospel. We want Jesus to be really clear. We want to extol and exalt him as much as possible so that we might find our rest and our all in him. If you are tuning in right now, you just missed like the Theocast gag reel that was going on before we started recording this episode. Only our back-end production guys got to hear that fun stuff. So anyway, maybe one day we'll air some of these things and nobody will ever listen to us again.
You mean, you give them the potential title we're going to use?
No, we can't. We can't. Got to keep some things secret, John.
Secret.
Your hosts today. In all seriousness, or at least semi-seriousness, John Moffitt, pastor of Grace Reformed Church in Spring Hill, Tennessee, and I am Justin Perdue, pastor of Covenant Baptist Church in Asheville, North Carolina. We're going to try to say some encouraging things to those of you out there, but a few announcements before we get rolling. We know this is everybody's favorite segment of the pod because everybody skips through them. The Theocast community, just want you to be aware of it. It's a growing growing space, if I can use that word. It's like social media, but better. It's like-minded people who are wrestling with the same things you are, but a lot of good questions are asked, a lot of good interchange back and forth. I know when I get on there, I'll post some things sometimes, but I look at what other people are posting and the questions they ask and how many replies they get. I'm like, man, this is sweet. Like, people are really going in. People care. So I would encourage you to look that up, theocast.org, our website. You can find
it's like a reformed search engine. You go in there and ask your questions, and you got reformed, loving
people to answer. So the Theocast community, just want to make you aware of that. One other thing that you can do for us, if this podcast has encouraged you and blessed you, certainly you can share it with other people, but while you're watching us on YouTube or listening to us on your podcast feed, give us a like, give us a review, that kind of stuff. Subscribe if you're not subscribed. This helps with the algos, as the kids say. Yeah, it'll get this podcast in front of more people, and not because John and I are trying to build a kingdom or a platform, but because we talk about Jesus here, and we want people to know rest in Christ and that Christ is a great and mighty Savior. So we leave all that to you, and now we're going to talk about the real stuff. So, John.
Amen. Let him know. Man, as a pastor and as a personal struggle with my own sins, this is a very relevant conversation. Justin, when I first started to think about Reformed faith and where the confessions bring in a lot of clarity here, it helped me so much in almost gave me a sense of like relief in my struggle with sin because, and I'll describe what a lot of people feel, is that as they get older in their faith and in years as a human, that maturity kicks in, and as maturity kicks in, then the struggle with sin becomes less and less, and that struggle becomes a frustration for many people when they realize that some temptations and some struggles just never go away. And there's a difference between one who is trapped in sin or habitually sinning and one who's struggling with temptation or with sin in general. So just to be clear, and what really helped me and this is not a doctrine on this, the doctrine of saint and sinner reality, that we're both mm-hmm. a sinner and a saint at the same time, that the spirit lives within us, but yet the spirit lives within a body that is still sinful, right? Yeah. So if we walk by the spirit, we will not give into the lust of the flesh. That's not what this is about, but that is an important foundation to understand. Huge. What I really want us to focus in on today is the world category that we live in. You have a perfect man named Jesus Christ who came and spent 33 years in our earth amongst our amongst our sinners that we do mm-hmm. and felt the same pressures from Satan as we do, and yet did not sin. And that's why he says in every way and every likeness he was tempted. Therefore, mm-hmm. if Jesus was feeling temptation, even so much so that even in the garden, he says, Father, is there another way? And it wasn't wrong for him to feel the temptation of like, is there another way? And theologically, it's a getting can struggle, but he was feeling the weight of the pressure of what was about to happen, right?
And he's feeling that in his human nature. Like as a human being, he's feeling that. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Yet without sin. So to say that one can experience intense amount of temptation and not be sinful is true. And so we, in our flesh, we feel temptation because there are sinful desires that Satan uses, and that it's just normal, the course of the world that we live in. Yeah. Satan has designed this world, according to Ephesians 2. He sets the course and the path of the world. Long discussion there, but he sets it up in such a way that it's a constant bombardment for humans that live here, right?
Yeah.
Our flesh has no lack of temptation being presented to it on a constant basis we don't even need outside pressure from Satan. We can tempt ourselves. And then on top of that, we have it.
No, amen. Yeah.
So the conversation is about the experience of temptation in the Christian life and how it's normal and how to think about it and how to engage it and to give some people a moment to relax a little bit, not against the fight against sin, but to relax as if, man, there's something wrong with me. I'm always struggling with this. That's where we need you to sit back and go, no, there's nothing wrong with you. There's something wrong with the world, and God's fixing that. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
All right, let me come in with just on the back end of what you said and agree with you. I know that you like to be affirmed, John, so that's what I'm trying to do here.
Especially in Christ, you can affirm.
No, but you're exactly right, brother, that as a result of the curse, as a result of the fall, original sin and the curse that comes, the world is now under the power of the evil one. And so we live in a world that is broken and that is, in one sense, ruled over under the sovereignty of God. Ultimately, this world still is ruled over by the evil one, the God of this world, as Paul calls him. Mm-hmm. So there's that reality. We know that God tempts no one, but the devil certainly does. He tempted Jesus, most pointedly in the wilderness, but there had to be more times than that. And I mean, he left Jesus until one more opportune time. So he comes back again at the end when he enters Judas and all the stuff. But then living in this world, we are bombarded, like you said, by all kinds of things that are sinful and that are wicked. And we also have that sinful flesh thing, like James. Mm. You know, God tempts no one, but these things actually come from within you on the one hand, because you have these cravings. So it's like all of this is going on in the life of every ordinary Christian. We live in a world where sin is rampant. We live in a world where the devil not only accuses and not only assails us, but he tempts us constantly. And we have a flesh still, because we are saint and sinner at the same time. We have a flesh still that craves sin, and that's where these passions come from. And so this is the normal everyday experience of every believer. And we do take comfort in knowing that our struggle and our battle is not unique to us. And there's not, like you said, if you hear us say anything today, because you're struggling against temptation or because you are being tempted does not for one second mean that there's something uniquely wrong with you. And it does not for one second mean that you don't belong to the Lord Jesus. Because with the Apostle Paul, we acknowledge that this is our everyday. And that there are times it goes well and there are times it doesn't. And ultimately, we're crying out to God to continue to bear with us, to continue to keep us, to continue to save and deliver us through Jesus Christ. So this is normal. Like, you're not crazy. And perhaps you've grown up, so to speak, in a church context where you have been told or maybe this is in your own tender conscience or whatever, that the struggle that you're experiencing still, after you've been a Christian for 5 or 10 or 30 years, the struggle that you're experiencing still says something about you that should cause you to question your legitimacy. You shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So 1 Corinthians, there's a section in chapter 10, and he's talking about some of the failures of the Old Testament saints. And as he's doing so,
you mean the people that are on the flannel board?
Those people, exactly. Yeah. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality or as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let no one who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So he's talking about the frailty of what temptation can do. Like you can and be tempted so much so it causes you to do atrocious things.
Yeah.
He says these were written down as an examples of what temptation can do to you.
He's talking about the golden calf and Korah's rebellion.
Sure.
The grumbling in the wilderness, the bronze serpent account. I mean, that's what he's alluding to. All the testing the Lord at the waters of Meribah is referred to many times. There's countless examples that Paul gives. Yeah.
That's right.
Not countless.
Then he says,
you know what I mean?
Sure. Then he says, 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that it is not common to man, meaning that, okay, this is normal. To be tempted is normal. This is common. Yeah. That is so important to hear. These are atrocious things these people did.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a common experience, right?
Yeah.
And then it says, God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you might be able to, what? Listen to this. Not remove the temptation, but endure it. Mm-hmm. And we know very clearly in the context, the way of escape is the power of Christ in you,
Amen.
Faith in Christ. So we look at Christ to endure. This is so important. Endure temptation, meaning that the Christian life is a life of temptation, which is a nuts thing to think about. Yeah. But he's saying it's common to live in a constant state of temptation. Now, that is not something the church talks about, Justin.
Yeah. Or not in a healthy way. Because you either get this like, fundamentalist, like independent fundamental Baptist stuff,
sure.
where everybody's just being scolded all the time. Or
sure.
you do get this kind of spiritual prosperity gospel that we've talked about before, where it's like you'll do the things the right way and you'll pray and you'll meditate and you'll read scripture and you'll go to church. And then eventually it's just going to get easy or easier, and you're going to live above all of this. You'll live above the fray and you won't really feel the pull the same way. I'm agreeing with you. The scripture bears a different testimony, man. This is a common experience of every Christian. I was mentioning the lyrics of a song to you before we recorded earlier.
Sure.
And it's just coming to my mind again. A song that many of us love called Lord, I Need You. And there's that beautiful little bridge in the middle. Teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. I mean, what you just said is temptation is going to come. It's common to man. When it comes, Lord, teach my song to rise to you. May I come to you in the midst of it, right? And then when I cannot stand, because I'm not strong enough in and of myself, when Paul says that he's not going to tempt you beyond your ability, he doesn't mean your own human ability, because then he talks about
God
provides you a way of escape through his grace and power in the Lord Jesus. When I can't stand because the weight of temptation is too much, I'm going to fall on Christ. Mm-hmm. So when we're tempted, and I know the podcast today is not about even like when we sin, but it's worth saying. I think Dick Lucas is the one who said this, and I think it's beautiful. When a Christian sins, we don't fall from grace, we fall into it. Mm-hmm. And it's a
good.
Beautiful way to put it, man. So and it's the same is true. You can apply this to when we're tempted. Being tempted and facing the weight of temptation that feels like I can't bear this. I'm not, that doesn't mean I'm falling from God's grace. I'm actually falling into the grace of God. The strength of the Lord is where I stand. The love of Christ and his power, his covering, his righteousness, that is my surety and my confidence. And that's where I need to lay my head. And I come to him in my time of need, and he wants me to, and he will give me the help that I so desperately need.
You know, to your point, verse 16, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not the participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? So he's talking about participating.
Right?
Yeah. He's talking about participating in the temptations that come your way and what they produce, and then participating in the Lord's table and the blessings that it brings. And he says, this is the means. I believe, amen. I mean, how else he's like, I'm providing a way out. And it is the constant reminder of who you are in Christ Jesus.
Right.
The blessings that you get from Christ keep you from turning to the false hopes of temptation.
Yep. So the Lord's Supper, this is great. We don't come to the table because we crushed it this week and we overcame every temptation.
No.
We come to the table so that we might be able to stand
so
in the midst of temptation.
Withstand. Yeah.
We come to the table for strength.
Yeah.
That we get that twisted all the time. Like when it comes to the sacraments, man, it's always, I need to be, there is worthy participation. Okay. Worthy participation just means that you're a repentant sinner, that you're casting yourself on Christ. You know, you have no righteousness of your own, and you're coming to Christ in faith for that. That's worthy participation. But then we twist that into thinking that I need to be doing well enough in order to be able to come. It's like, no, the Lord has given you the table because you're not strong enough and because you do lack faith and love. And so he's trying to give you through the, not trying, he will give you through the sacrament. As you come in faith in Christ, he's going to give you what you need, and he's going to nourish you and feed you so that you might be able to then engage in love and service, and so that you might have strength to fight and strength to stand. So even as you're going to church on Sunday and you're going to come to the Lord's table, don't be thinking, have I done well enough this week? Be thinking, man, I've been bombarded this week, and I know I'm going to be bombarded next week. Thank God for this bread and this cup, that as surely as I eat this and drink it, Christ died for me, and that he's for me, and that I'm going to be strengthened through this meal. Have that mind among yourselves.
Yeah. So going back, I want to encourage anyone, men out there and women, I think when you, as I said earlier, I'm preaching through Genesis, and man, the sin that seems to be the constant trip up in that story is just sensual sins. I mean, the constant,
bro. Ain't nothing changed.
No. So Satan continues to use sensuality to trip up the believer and the unbeliever. I mean, he controls us with sensuality constantly. And so for the both male and female that's out there, and you're feeling the constant temptation, and it feels exhausting, I think this is when the phrase from Paul, my grace is sufficient, right? The solution, both in 1 Corinthians, the solution is that not to get rid of the temptation. There is an essence, Justin, where I will say, I think we can, Paul says, don't make a provision for your flesh.
Sure.
It's already hard. Don't make it harder.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't be around things that are going to tempt you 100%. If you have control of that.
100%.
But at the same time, it's like, well, then never go outside. Because if you never go outside, you won't see anything. Never watch it. It's like there comes a moment where it's like you still have to function in the world, but you don't have to be foolish about it.
Correct.
That being said, my encouragement to you, for me, what helped me tremendously is to wake up every single day and think, okay, today is another day of fighting. Until Christ returns, I literally say this prayer to myself. I think every day, if not multiple times a day, Lord, give me strength for my day, because I know I'm going to get an onslaught. And I'm always asking the Lord for strength, always asking the Lord for strength, because he says he provides a way, and that way is faith in Christ.
Yeah.
And there are times, Justin, where some days temptation to be lazy, for sensuality, for whatever you want to throw in there. I mean, every person has a different struggles, but we're very similar. Some days are extremely
intense. Of us have several of them.
Yes. And then some days the temptation is very low. I don't think I was more spiritual in one day and less spiritual than the other. Yep. It's just the ebb and flow of how life works. Yep. And I think it's healthy to understand, and I'll say this and throw it back over to you. It's a little bit of a change in topic, but no, I think as you grow older in your faith and you become more aware of ways to offend Christ, that I mean that in like, hey, this is opposite of who Christ is. I think the temptations get in more intensified because you have more ways to sin than you didn't even realize like you didn't even know you could sin like that.
Exactly.
If you're new to Theocast, you may not have heard of this word. It's called pietism. Have you ever felt like the Christian life is a heavy burden versus rest and joy? That you wake up worrying about how well you're gonna perform instead of thinking about what Christ has done for you? It's dread versus joy, really. That's pietism. Pietism causes Christians to look in on themselves and find their hope, not in what Christ has done, but what they're doing. And we have a little book for you. It's free. We want you to download it. And we're going to explain the difference between pietism and what we call confessionalism. Reformed theology, really. How it is that we walk by faith, seeing the joy of Christ. And when Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest, what does that look like? You can download it at our website. Just go to theocast.org.
I similarly pray every day, multiple times a day, for the Lord's protection. Mm-hmm. Protect me from the evil one. Protect me from the deceitfulness of sin. Give me strength, like you said, to fight. And that, and by that I mean fighting the corruption of my flesh, fighting the enemies that I have that I don't see. And then, Lord, give me your grace. Give me your mercy. I think we're constantly asking the Lord for those things. And we should be aware of it all. Because, yeah, we wake up every day and we're going through the course of our day. We never know what's lurking or lying around the corner, you know. And so we always are like standing in the strength of the Lord, and we wear the armor of God, which is Christ for us. And so we should talk to the Lord about those things. I agree. And temptation is an interesting thing. Like you acknowledge, it ebbs and it flows. Sometimes it's really close. And sometimes I know I use this language a lot, but I'm so helped by Luther's picture of sometimes it feels like it has its claws, its hooks in me, and it chases after me. And I just can't shake it. And then there are other times where it's far away and temptation doesn't feel near. And we oftentimes get things so confused because we think, oh, you know, I'm doing really well right now. And it's really like Chad Bird said it on a podcast with us years ago. I'll never forget it. He said, guys, so often our virtue is just an absence of temptation. It's like, exactly. rather than you thinking, man, I'm really doing something here. And then you're putting confidence in yourself. Our posture should really be, Lord, I thank you that temptation doesn't feel close right now. And I pray this continues. And and I, today on my better day, I'm still casting myself into the arms of Christ for me. And then I know that temptation is going to get close again. And Lord, protect me. Please keep me. It's just like Jesus said, you know, I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, Father. I just ask that you keep them from the evil one. I mean, that's the life we live, man. And to have this mindset is a good thing. If you don't, I think you're going to be tripped up a lot. Exactly. And then last comment, and then I will throw it back to you, like you said a minute ago. You know, we're talking in ways, we're kind of touching on the world, the flesh and the devil, you know, and where all these things come from. And you were talking about sensuality and how the devil's always used that. And I said, ain't nothing changed. Certainly true. No. And then, you know, you combine the way that the devil tempts and assails us with sensuality and sexual immorality. But then I'm mindful of like Jesus in Mark 7, when he says that from within, out of the heart of man, come all these things. Here's the list. Come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and they defile a person. So it's like, man, there's all of this. You know, it wells up from within, from the corrupt flesh, that the corpse of the old man that we drag around with us, and then the devil compounds on that, and the world is, you know, bombarding us too. And on the one hand, I don't think this is wrong to say, John, on the one hand, I'm like, man, it is a miracle. It is supernatural. It is grace from God for the believer that we don't just live in this all the time.
Yeah,
but that we actually have some victory, and we actually we really are sanctified, and we're not like we used to be. We didn't do that, you know.
Yeah. Well, Satan, the interesting thing about it is that we have a bank full of time and energy, and Satan wants us to spend that time and energy on things that indulge our flesh, right? That's where temptation comes.
Sure.
And Christ is like, he wants us to spend our time and energy on that which brings comfort and joy and peace. And that's where people
things
get
that are
just,
eternal.
You know, it's like,
yeah.
So to say, we should not overemphasize or deemphasize one or the other. You have all the capacities you need to struggle for the rest of your life. But this is why Paul says you have to stand in the strength of the Lord, because it's not just your flesh that's your issue. No. Is that you have a tempter who wants you to spend your flesh constantly, just spend it all out of that bank, man, use it up. And I think that this is really, really helpful. You're going back to your illustration about how you could feel like, man, I'm really crushing it today because you've had less temptation. You know, it's like a boxer who never gets a punch thrown at him because he's always boxing a bag. He's like, man, I'm the greatest boxer in the world. It's like,
I ain't been hit in years, man. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. What's the phrase? Every plan goes out the window after the first
Mike
hit.
Mike Tyson, brilliant. Everybody's got a plan till they get hit in the mouth. It's so true. That's a proverb if I've ever heard one.
Exactly. And that's really what I want to feel, is that when you get hit in the mouth and that temptation, it does at times feel shameful. Like, why does that tempt me? Like, why is that? I mean, I've been praying, I've been preaching, I've been reading, I've been in counseling sessions, and temptations have come my way.
Oh,
and it almost is like, why am I being tempted right now?
Dude.
Like, why am I being tempted with that? And there's a sense of shame. And I have to remind myself that my flesh and the devil wants to get me off what I should be focused on right now. And I'm just not going to do that. I'm going to, Lord, forgive me. I didn't give in to that temptation. Lord, give me strength, stay focused. And I don't want to focus on this anymore. And I need to get back to what I need to be focused on. And that's my encouragement to the believer, is that, you know, temptations are, they're shameful things, in that you're not being tempted with things that are good most of the time. You know, you're not, it's not that it's a good thing, it's a bad thing.
Right.
And that's where the shame can come in. And just remember, don't act on it.
Right.
Don't dwell on it. Repent of, if you were giving into it, you were starting to, what does Jesus talk about? Where we have the lust of the mind and the pride of the heart. Like, if you started, your mind started giving into it, then repent of that. And then throw yourself back on Christ and stay focused on the work that is before you. And this is why idle hands becomes an issue, because temptation can, you know, so stay focused on the work, stay focused on serving and loving others. And that it gives you a way to spend your energy so that you're not, because Justin, there's nothing wrong than sitting idle and just being bombarded with it. It's like sitting in front of food and smelling it and not eating it. They get up and walk away from the table. Like, if you're not supposed to eat what's in front of you, then go do something else. And this is my encouragement to you, in that we have to live a life this way until Christ returns, because it's not that he removes the temptation, it's that he gives us a way through it. And I just wanted the believer to be encouraged with that, because Justin, sometimes we get so focused on never being tempted again, and that's not the life that we live.
No.
It's giving into the sin is that we're looking forward to, is not being tempted.
Word. Yeah, I agree, man. Like, when you have that thought pop into your mind and you indulge it, you know, you chase it a little bit, it's good. You confess that, Lord,
sure.
I'm indulging this. Please forgive me.
Sure.
And give me a heart of wisdom and give me strength so that I wouldn't toy with sin.
Yep.
And that's a good way to be. And then, like you acknowledge, man, like, I'm reading the Bible, or I'm praying, or I'm prepping a sermon, or whatever it may be. And then this thought pops into my mind, and it's like, where did that come from? It's like, well, it's, you have an enemy and you have a corrupt flesh. And that's where this stuff comes from. And
that's
then
right.
what do you do in that moment? It's just like what we've been describing. Like, don't chase it. Or acknowledge that you want to, Lord, I'm wanting to chase this. I'm wanting to toy with this. I'm wanting to pursue this because I like it. Like, please help me. You know, Lord, help. I mean, that's a prayer of every saint, 100%.
And deliver me from the evil one at this moment.
So then let me talk a little bit about this too, because this is related to how we kind of started the podcast with, if you're facing temptation, don't think there's something wrong with you. Or if you're struggling against the weight of temptation, don't think there's something wrong with you, because this is what the devil does too, because he'll bring the temptation or your flesh, you know, something comes from your flesh and the devil doubles down and all that. Then we start to doubt ourselves and we start to question our legitimacy, and the evil one will take that, man, and he will run with that narrative in your mind, and he'll accuse you six ways from Sunday that, oh, wait, the fact that you want this, do you think you're really Christ's? You think you're a Christian? Because you're... If you were a Christian, you wouldn't be thinking that. Or if you
were
a Christian, you wouldn't be struggling with that. Or if you were really one of Jesus's sheep, then you wouldn't be going down that road in your mind and heart or indulging that thing. And what do we have in that moment? All we've got are the words of Christ and the promises of God. It gets back to that. We live on based on faith. We live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. We don't live based on what we see or even what we're feeling in that moment. We certainly don't listen to the word of the devil that's going to condemn us. We have to continue to call to mind the words of our Savior, that he loves us, that he gave himself for us, that he is for us, that he's our righteousness, he's our shield, he's our defender and the lifter of our head, and that he will cherish the little bit of faith and love we got, man. He's going to cherish it. He's going to nourish it until he has brought judgment to victory, and we keep saying that to ourselves, and we say it to each other, and we ask for brothers and sisters to speak that word from outside of us into our ears too, so that we might trust and so that we might rest. Because this fight ain't going away. Yeah. I mean, until we die or the Lord returns, this fight will not go away.
No, we wrestle not. That's the word wrestle means, wrestle not against flesh and blood. Hey, Justin, I just want to, this will be my last thought. It's an important one because I've heard mostly dudes that I've talked to who've quoted this verse, and it says, he will provide a way of escape. He goes, man, God never just provided me a way. And I was like, whoa, 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 man. It's not what you're thinking. Oh, I wanted to do something wrong. I wanted to look at this thing that I shouldn't be looking at. And God didn't provide me a way out. So, you know, it's technically not my fault that I fell into this. It's how they kind of word it.
Yeah, it's pretty.
And my encouragement to you is this. He has provided the way. It's not future tense. It's a past tense concept. Mm-hmm. The way of escape is always Christ, mm-hmm. right? And you have to look at the wording here. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, meaning he knows your frailty and he knows Christ's sufficiency. Christ is far more sufficient than you are frail. Okay, you Amen. Need to remember that. We stand in the strength of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the way of escape is always Christ. Now, I will say this one last thing. He's writing this to the church of Corinth. Mm-hmm. And that is writing to brothers and sister that they together have a way out.
Yeah.
And that at times it means each other, confessing our sins, confessing our struggles, learning to lean on each other, consider how to build one another up into love and good works, rescuing each other out of sin. So it's a community of people who are being tempted and who are resting in the sufficiency of Christ. Together, they can fight the temptation. This lone ranger stuff has got to go away because that's how he isolates you, then he tempts you, then he takes you out, and then you're like, well, God didn't provide a way. He provided Christ. He provided Christ's community. He provided Christ's supper. He provided the preaching and the prayer. He provided enough. It's just you got isolated from it and you can't do that.
Doctrine really matters and it's inherently practical in all the ways you just described. So in a local church context, which is God's design for us to live, like you said, we're not meant to do this alone. We do this with other brothers and sisters. Well, it is so pivotal that Jesus Christ is preached, that the gospel is preached to Christians, because then what that facilitates is a culture and an environment in a church where we can walk in the light and we can live in open confession and we can acknowledge the depth of corruption that still remains in all of us, that we're all sinner saints and that our righteousness is found only in Christ. And so then we walk together like this, where it's safe to be open and honest about the temptation that we're facing and the struggles and the weight of it all. And we lock arms with other brothers and sisters who speak true words to us, and we encourage one another in the fight. It's so needed. And sadly, if you're in a church context where the gospel isn't preached and where like a saint-centered reality isn't upheld, or we're not mindful of the fact that we have an enemy in the devil and fallen angels, if we're not mindful of the flesh and the corruption that still runs deep within every person, if these things aren't clear, then we're all going to continue to do this fake it till you make it thing. And we're going to act like everything's all right when deep down we know it's not. And we're just going to live lives in private of doubt and wrestling and questioning and struggling rather than finding the healing and the restoration and the power and the strength that is given to us by God in the church, in the sacraments, in the word, and ultimately in Christ. So, man, the Lord's good.
Good stuff.
He's faithful. Even when we're faithless, he remains faithful. He will not cast us out. This is our hope and our confidence. Let's continue to live lives this way. Amen.
Amen.
It's been good to talk with you, John. I'm encouraged in Christ. And it's good to talk to a fellow struggler and to another brother in the Lord who is fighting temptation and all that the way that I am. And so if you're out there listening to this, know that the two guys behind the microphones are with you. in the struggle and in the fight, and more than anything, our Savior is with us. And there's coming a day when we will be raised incorruptible and imperishable. We will never want to sin again. We won't even conceive of evil, and all evil will be eradicated. And it's going to be wonderful. Joy and good and righteousness will be as natural as breathing. So what a day that will be. Until then, I pray the Lord Jesus comes back. May he come. But if he doesn't, we'll be on the podcast, we trust, again next week. And you'll hear us in your earbuds or on the YouTube or wherever you watch or listen. We're grateful for you. Peace.
Hey guys, real quick. Some of you are listening to this and it's encouraging to you, but you have questions. So where do you go? How do you interact with other people who have the same questions and share resources? We have started something called the Theocast Community, and we're excited because not only is it a place for you to connect with other like-minded believers, all of our resources are there, past podcasts, education materials, articles, all of it's there, and you can share it and ask questions. You can go check it out. The link is in the description below.